Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a fulfilling week this week. In the second hour, I'm very pleased to be interviewing Trash McSweeney, singer, songwriter, and creator of the five-piece orchestral art band, The Red Paintings, which was officially born at the dawn of the millennium. After suffering a near-fatal seizure, visionary performer Trash McSweeney now sees colour in music and seeks to share with the world the ideas he has seen and felt. He's currently in the middle of a world tour in support of the release of the Red Paintings album, The Revolution Is Never Coming. And Trash originates all the Red Paintings musical and staging concepts, and the band is known for its unique and compelling live performances featuring theatrical and art elements. The album, The Revolution Is Never Coming, was 5 years in the making and features a 35-piece orchestra, 22-piece choir, harp players, French horn, theremin and more across 13 tracks of biting futuristic alternative rock. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Trash, hearing how the tour's going and playing some tracks from the album. That's coming up in the second hour. Now, what have we got coming up this hour? Well, for questions that matter this week, we're considering, does your age define you? As usual, I've been out and about getting opinions aimed at starting us thinking. First, let's hear what Elizabeth has to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin. What is your name?
My name's Elizabeth.
Well, thanks very much for taking part in our out and about feature. And this week, our topic is, does your age define you? And just thinking about the attitudes towards age in society, how we think about people and whether we change our perception of people based on their age. And I was just wondering, may I ask what your age is?
Yes, I'm 82. You asked if age defines you, and there does seem to be a bit of an obsession with people wanting to know the age of a person, particularly when you watch television, when people are introducing themselves. Some of the shows that I've watched, they have to say their age, and I think that's irrelevant. And yes, it does define you, because as soon as you do mention how old you are, then you're in a kind of pigeonhole, and people start judging, perhaps, you on that reply. But on the other hand, at 82, I don't feel 82. I don't think like an 82-year-old. And really, I don't feel that I've got any limitations as an 82-year-old. And I never think that I do have. So if I tell people that I'm 82, I can immediately see that they're slotting me in to a segment of what I should be portraying, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you feel that people have a certain idea in their head of what an 82-year-old is like?
Well, yes, probably, because, TV and film, they classify you as sort of old at 32. And many female stars can testify to the fact, you know, that they do feel as if they are on the shelf and that they're being sidelined and having to play the older sister or an elderly relative, or not so elderly relative, but they don't play a lead part anymore. And of course, you know, we're living now to a much older age. They reckon that the next generation will go beyond 100. And so age is being defined in a completely different way as a result of that. And I feel, you know, it's a good thing. And people take more interest in themselves and how they look and their activities. So I feel good.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, when most of the power and success in the world is not held by young people, why do you think youth is valued so highly? Is it all about looks?
Yes, I think it's physique and sexism. You know, perhaps you're more fanciable when you're in your teens or early 20s. I'm not sure, really. I would hope, you know, that it's not only just that, but also a person's mind and their intelligence and their view of life and their awareness of who they really are.
Yes. Spoke about the attitude in Hollywood, and it seems like there has been a bit of a shift in that direction in terms of perhaps slightly more in television than in film, but in America recently, one of the leading magazines had Sandra Bullock as the most beautiful woman in the world. And, you know, whether you agree with that or not, she is 50. And it seems like, you know, I feel like a couple of decades ago, that would just never have been mooted at all, that a woman
no,
of 50
I agree. I agree.
Would be considered beautiful.
And it points to the fact, well, yes, it points to the fact that a 50-year-old now is really a 30-year-old. And, you know, I've got younger friends that are having a wonderful time in their 60s. It's, you know, they're very romantically living their lives socially and dressing beautifully and being careful about their figure. But I have to say, sometimes when I watch the television and somebody's playing the part of the grandma, the grandmother, or ages referred to that particular character, sometimes I can't equate how they look to the age that they're saying they are, and they seem to put a person in who looks years older.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit of a mystery, really.
I know what you mean. Well, I think there's a lot of stereotyping that goes on in casting, it seems, and you're right. You know, if you're an 80-year-old in a film, and you probably have white hair and, you know, glasses and, you know, maybe slightly stooped and all of that. And, of course, you know, looking at you, you're nothing like that at all. So it is kind of perpetuating a stereotype of what older people look like. And it's a very powerful medium, isn't it? So I think it is important to try and create a shift in the entertainment industry.
You've only got to look at Helen Mirren, is it? Helen?
Yes,
Mirren.
Yeah.
You know, she's coming up to the age of 70. She looks absolutely fabulous. She says, you know, that she might consider having a facelift of some sort in the future, if it means, you know, that she can stay as an actress. But up till now, she hasn't... apart from eating well and keeping her weight at the right weight and exercising, that's all she really has done, you know, to maintain good health and her good appearance.
Yeah.
And
well, of course,
Joan
that's
Collins.
I was going to say, of course, that's one of the sad things of which Joan Collins is an example, that there are a lot of women, particularly in entertainment, who have felt the pressure to have surgery to try and combat the fact that they're getting older, which I think is a shame, you know, because there's a lot of things that can make you attractive.
Yes.
Apart from having, like, perfect skin, you know, I mean, at all ages.
With Joan Collins, I feel that, you know, she reinvents herself all the time. I've, you know, followed her career because, you know, she's the same age as myself, and I've always been very interested in film stars and actors and acting and whatever. And, you know, from a sex symbol when she was in her earlier years, she has sort of maintained quite a glamorous appearance. But she's written books. She's done one-person shows. She's appeared, you know, in soaps playing, you know, special characters. And it just sort of seems as if age doesn't matter to her, and she just goes on and on. And when she married somebody half her age, when she was in her 70s, she just laughed it off and said, well, you know, if he dies before me, it's too bad. I'll have to accept that.
Yeah.
And she did say, why are people obsessed with a person's age? That doesn't define who they are. And she's
so
right.
Perhaps the question is, I mean, does your age define you? It does if you let it, perhaps. I mean, although there are...
It does if you let it, yes.
There are
and some people
society, but, yeah.
Well, yes, but I think there are some people that perhaps do get to a certain point as they get older. They might be lonely. They might not have had a very happy life. And suddenly, you know, they're just sort of sitting in front of the television and not going out or doing anything stimulating. And yes, that will age you because, you know, you're not living life. You're just existing.
Right.
So I think it's important, you know, to keep stimulated and to enjoy life and to go on discovering new things and being happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's working for you, so thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thank you to Elizabeth for her perspective on does your age define you. We're going to go to some messages now, but we'll be back very soon.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
It's Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic, Does Your Age Define You? And the Out and About feature is designed to get us thinking, so I'm wondering where your mind is going with this right now. If I asked you these questions, what would you respond? Well, the next person that I spoke to, or the next people rather that I spoke to, were Julia, Keith and Sarah on the street. So let's hear their thoughts. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Sarah.
Keith.
Julia.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, our topic is, does your age define you? I'm just thinking about, as a culture, how we judge people based on their age, whether it be young or old or, you know, either direction. And I'm wondering if you've had any experiences where you felt like you were perceived or treated in a different way just because of your age, whatever age that might have been. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I would say I've always been kind of big. I'm pretty tall. And when I was a little girl, I was like 4 or 5 inches taller than like the average people in my middle school, for example. And I actually had a lot of teachers like ask me if I'd stayed back in school because I was so tall. Yeah. So I've kind of always been perceived by my peers and as been of people in authority as like older than I was. So I was almost held to a different ideal and expected to act differently because I looked older than I was. Yeah. My mother especially tells me stories of when I was a little girl, I was a lot taller than people. I was on a soccer team, and I had some of the other mothers like be like, that girl shouldn't be playing on the team. She's too big. She's not in the same age group, even though I was. So just from an early age, I kind of was aware of my age and I guess how people had perceived me to act a certain way because they thought I was older than I was. So it's almost in right. the opposite of
yes.
what you were saying. So just, that was an experience I had as a kid. So,
but it's still that kind of thing of people are ascribing certain attributes to a certain age, and because you didn't fit into them, therefore you're being judged for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even now, like, I mean, I'm 25 and people are always surprised. I guess my sister was older than me, so I was pretty close with her and I hung out a lot with her friends and things like that, and people have always maybe said I was older than I, or acted older than I was, but definitely I think people attributed attributes to how old they thought I was and expected me to behave because of that.
Right. What about you? Have you had any experiences where you've been treated differently because of your age?
Yeah, I think I have. I was thinking about that while Joe was speaking, but I have a professional mentor who, for the last few years in business, I've doubted myself because I'm a bit younger than some of my colleagues and some folks that I work with, and I always maybe projected or perceived that they were judging me for my age. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would maintain professional relationships with folks on the phone or via email, and then finally meeting in person, you know, and I would notice a change in the dynamics and how we address one another. I thought that was because I looked young. Mm-hmm. And my mentor and friend, he told me a story, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he told me that the founding fathers of the United States, when they all signed the Declaration of Independence, that the youngest one was something like 17 years old. And all of the the folks that we associate as being the founding fathers of this country were pretty young men, you know, 20s, you know, early 30s and things like that. And so he pretty much just said, you know, don't worry about it. Yeah. Yeah, those guys that, like, the people that we look up to, and you know, age shouldn't play a factor in what we can accomplish, and that was a little bit freeing. And then I guess I got a little bit older too, so now
right.
I don't think about it as much, but defining moment.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a prejudice for being too young to be taken seriously in the business world, that, you know, you haven't got what it takes because you haven't been doing it long enough or whatever, something like that.
I experienced that, and I'm not sure if I imagined it or if it was really there, but I did experience that.
Yes, interesting. What about you? Have you had any experiences where you feel you've been perceived differently because of your age?
Yeah, I think the same way professionally. I'm 24, and when I meet people, a lot of times they don't think like I could possibly be like someone's business manager. They're like, oh, you must be an intern, or you must be an assistant, or are you her daughter, or something like that. Yes. I look pretty young. I'm pretty short. And in the same way, some jobs, people are like, oh, you're young, so maybe you'll be a better fit. Especially in California, I think they're a little more open to younger people. I'm from the East Coast, and right. there they definitely want you to be older. So
right.
it's kind of different depending where you are.
Okay. And then I'm wondering whether you feel you make judgments of people based on their age. You know, when you meet someone, do you think about, oh, I wonder how old they are? Do you want to know how old they are? And once you do know how old they are, does it change what you think of them? You know, are you weighing all these things in your mind?
I actually think that's an interesting question. I feel like for like the first time last year, I was in a social situation and I was, you know, with my friend. I don't remember what exactly we were doing, but I was looking at this group of like 16, 17 year old girls and I was totally judging them on like what they were wearing and how they were acting. And I was just like, oh my God, Julia, like you're so old. Here you are like 10 years older than these girls. You were probably acting like them just yesterday. And here you are judging their behavior. And that was kind of a pivotal moment for me. I was like, I guess I had just realized, I don't know exactly what I realized, but I realized something, and it was quite incredible for me to just think how far I'd come from who I was, and that I was maybe turning into this crotchety old adult that was totally ditching on youth and these young kids and these people having fun. So,
right, yeah. When you meet someone though, do you feel you want to know their age to sort of get a kind of feel for who they are? Does it contribute to what you think of them or your perception of them?
At this point, no. I think the main people group that I'm judging is definitely teenagers. Okay. And I don't know if that's just because I once, most recently was a teenager or what, but I don't really find myself judging older people or middle-aged people or people who are in their 30s. It's definitely pretty, my judgment is definitely focused on teenagers.
Okay.
And it's probably just because I was like them like 2 years ago, so.
Yeah, okay. What about you? Do you think you want to know how old people are when you meet them, and does that change what you think of them?
You know, it's not the first place that my mind usually goes, I think, when I meet somebody. If I'm starting to perceive people a bit differently, you know, as I have a few years and start to find myself saying things that I've heard said to me, you know, I'm changing my outlook on age, and I think that I like to get to know people who are a few years older now on a friendship level. That's a new development. But I think for the most part, I try not to let it, you know, be first and foremost in my mind. I don't know.
I mean, you've had the reverse experience. I think, you know, people who are older perhaps feel judged on, you know, oh, you've done so much by this age, or oh, you haven't done much by this age, or, you know, like people are doing this kind of weighing thing of where you are. I mean, you had the reverse of it sort of being like, oh, you're too young to be doing this at this age. But what about you? Do you think you make judgments on people, you know, based on their age?
I think I do, and I shouldn't. I don't mean to. But I'm only 24, but I'm like in a long-term relationship, and a lot of my friends now are late 20s, early 30s. So I have this idea of like where you're supposed to be when you're at that age, and a lot of people I meet are not at, you know, the point that I think I'm gonna be, and like you never, like I probably might not be, but like married or, you know, whatever, a homeowner.
Yes.
But yeah, a lot of people you meet in that age range aren't, you know, what you probably think you're gonna be like in 10 years when you're in your early 20s.
Right, so you've definitely got preconceptions about what should happen at certain ages.
You're right, exactly. And I think I kind of judge people that I shouldn't in that age range when I meet them, because I think I'm going to be a certain, you know, you never know. But
and where do you think that comes from? Is that like how you were brought up or a cultural thing?
I think it's how I'm brought up. I think it's a cultural thing. Definitely New England. I think homeowners are a little bit younger. Homes are definitely cheaper than in California, and I just moved from San Jose too, where there's a lot of young engineers and technology people who are in their early 30s buying homes and married and all that stuff. So
So I'm wondering also whether you think we discriminate as a society against, you know, age, especially as people get older. And also, I guess I'll ask all of you, but whether you notice a difference in the perception of women's ages to men's.
I definitely think there's discrimination both for people that are younger and people that are older. I run a store, and in my hiring process, if I meet someone and I think that they're too old, or I think that, yeah, I mean, if I think that they look too old or they look too young, I absolutely, I shouldn't admit it, but I totally discriminate them on whether or not I think that they look, you know, if they look too old, they're not going to know what's trendy, they're not going to know what's hip, they're not up to date, you know?
So is that discrimination do you think, I mean, if you found someone who was older who actually was hip and trendy and knew about clothes, or is it clothes you're doing? No.
Yes.
Do you think you would hire them even if they were older? Would you just think, oh, everyone's going to think they're not trendy and so I'm not going to hire them?
I think I would hire them, but they'd really have to go out of their way to prove to me that they could do that. I mean, I've...
And they might not get that chance because you'd probably just think, oh, you're old, you're no good.
Yeah, I mean, out of my experience in working in like a clothing retail business, I've only ever met one older woman that was, I mean, she was amazing, but everyone else I've ever met, I just felt like couldn't keep up, and they work slower, and they, you know, I don't, maybe they're not used to it, and they're slower with technology, which is horrible to say, but it's true, and I'm like, I don't want to take the time to train you on these things that I wouldn't have to train someone if they were 22, 23 years old, so.
Right, yeah. So some of that's a reality, and I guess that reality is fair, but not giving someone a chance to be different than your perception of them perhaps is not fair. You know, but if they have the skills that you actually want and they're older, then maybe...
It's definitely not fair, but, you know, I'm giving someone a 20-minute interview for a retail job, you know?
Yes, yeah.
It isn't fair, but... Life isn't fair. Yeah, exactly. And also to add on to that, I would say, like, why are you 45 years old and looking for a retail job? This is a job that's for kids in college and fresh out of high school, because I have that perceived notion that a sales associate position shouldn't be for an older person, because I'm like, what are you doing with your life? Which I guess is totally a judgment as well. So
we're pretty much the worst people.
Well, you're being honest. I mean, and I think what you're saying is what a lot of people think. And I think, though, that one of my favorite quotes is the British author George Eliot. She's an American, British, you know who she is, Victorian author. And she said, it's never too late to become what you might have been. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of reasons you might be 45 and getting a retail job. You may have got divorced and you just, you know, need, you know, money. You may have had a very disturbed childhood, been traumatized, abused, and it's taken you all that time to get to a point where you're functioning and, you know, you're starting your life and you're trying to make, you know, ends meet. I don't know, I'm just making this up. But there's reasons that you might be wanting to take a job like that at that age. So, but that's, I appreciate you being honest, because I think that represents, you know, what happens.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you think, as a society, we discriminate against people based on their age?
Well, I think so. Yeah, you know, I do think it goes both ways. There's kind of, I think that it favors the mean a little bit.
Favors the what?
The mean. You know, the extreme on either end are selected against, and it's the task of those, you know, a little bit outside the average to demonstrate or to make. Sorry, here we go. Person checking out our puppy, but yeah, I kind of think so, and I've seen a little bit of ageist discrimination, you know, in the workplace too, and I think it,
I mean, you're all younger, so you might have different views when you're older. Oh, wow, you're ancient. Okay, I'll take that back. Yeah. What about you? Do you think this is a society we discriminate based on age?
Yeah, I think so. I think the same way. Depending where you are or what it is, it's either you're discriminating against younger or older. I mean, in the media and movies, music, you know, if you're past a certain age point, you know, you shouldn't be in there. And then I think once you get up into certain professional settings too, if you're too young, people don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
You know what? I've seen an interesting one though. I've seen one that's a little bit different than we've discussed, which is I work with many different government employees, and with government, there's actually a little bit of a different age stereotype that people apply, which is these employees who have what amounts to tenure in these positions, and they won't leave, they won't retire. Now, maybe it's for financial reasons or for reasons that, you know, of their own, but we had, you know, and so there's younger employees really trying to gain a foothold into these places, and these older employees who want to retire, who really aren't doing that great of a job anymore, who are just kind of filling these desks, and people are trying to move into those positions, and that's a stereotype that's emerged in some of those sectors, which I thought was different and kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Finally, I just wanted to ask you about the question about women's age versus men's age. I mean, we see it mainly in entertainment, you know, in film, as you mentioned, in the media. You know, you'll have a leading male star who could be 60 and he'll have a 25-year-old, you know, girlfriend or whatever. Do you see that kind of discrimination of, you know, the way women are perceived as they age being different? Do you see it changing? I know Sandra Bullock was just recently on the cover of, I can't remember which magazine, is the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's 50. So there's been some, you know, shift, but is that something you think about at all, or are you too young to have thought about it yet?
I think definitely there's discrimination towards women and aging, especially, I think, unfortunately, women today, we perhaps get a lot of our social recognition and our job recognition because of how attractive we are, unfortunately. And I think that there's a lot of pressure on women to maintain that level of attractiveness because you actually can see that you get a leg up in the workplace if you are on that level. So, you know, as women get older, I think that there's really that fear, like, oh, I'm not going to get ahead anymore. People aren't going to respect what I have to say. Especially, I think you could look at, you know, a man that's 55 and a woman that's 55. The man probably isn't dying his hair. The woman is probably dying her hair. She's probably getting Botox. She's probably super stressed out about if her skin looks wrinkly, if she has crow's feet, if she's putting moisturizer on her face every night and every day because she doesn't want to look old. Whereas with a man, you know, it's like men get more dignified as they get older, and women, we just get older. And our husbands are probably going to get 20-year-old mistresses, but a woman, she's just getting older, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's really classy for a guy to be old and have a young mistress, whereas with a woman, if she has a younger boyfriend, she's a cougar, right? So I just think that our society kind of views... It's almost as if once women are older and they've lost that young, beautiful, attractive look, they're not worth as much anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, why do you think our society is like that? Because, you know, certain societies and more indigenous societies, as, you know, people age, and especially as women age, they actually become more valued in the society, and not just as an elder either. They're still seen as vibrant kind of sexual beings, you know. So I wonder why we're so fixated on that aspect.
I mean, I think it's because we're in a patriarchal westernized society and we've totally lost what it means. We don't respect our elders, we don't respect our youth, we don't respect that when you age you have wisdom. I mean you look at indigenous societies and native peoples all over the world, and those people, that once they have reached that age, they're extremely revered. Their opinion is worth an incredible amount. If they say something, everybody listens. We don't have that anymore. And especially with women, you know, I consider myself an extreme feminist, so I think it's the best what's left because of a patriarchal society, and that,
yes,
you know, men are valued more than women.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think you perceive discrimination against women, you know, as far as age goes, compared with men, how they're viewed as they age?
Yeah, definitely, and especially in the media. I mean, if a woman has a baby, she's expected to be hitting the gym for like 3 hours a day and lose that baby weight in like 10 days and Instagram a picture of herself all skinny. And then there was that whole dad bod thing, and then remember where it was in the magazines that people were like, dad bod is the new hot thing, like guys having floppy bellies, dad bod, and women were just outraged, like how come the guys can be fat and like not work out and stuff, but we're still expected to have like perfect size 2 bodies and go to the gym every day.
Yeah. I mean, I think also though, with this world in the media is creating this expectation, and like you're saying, you know, we feel like if we had a baby, you have to do this. How many women are actually doing that? I mean, I think the percentage is absolutely tiny.
Yeah.
But the pressure is there, so you see it and you feel like you should be doing that, but actually most women, you know, are not doing that. So there's this, I don't know, disproportionate influence, I think, of how women are presented in the media in relation to how women actually are.
I just think that the, you know, the percentage of people that are actually portrayed and put on television compared to reality, is so completely different. And what you see in the magazines, I mean, everything's photoshopped. Like, nothing is legitimate. It's literally this complete facade that we have in our society of what people are supposed to look like and how they're supposed to act. And then compared to reality, it's just completely different. So it's basically just leaves everyone feeling like, wow, I basically don't meet these standards and nobody's fitting in.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of men, they see that and they have that expectation, even though a lot of real life women don't, aren't fitting that. Yeah. So there's kind of like a disconnect. So I've heard so many guys being like, oh, like, she's still so fat from that baby she had and da-da-da.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard, like, you hear people say that kind of stuff all the time, and it's like...
it's like, get a grip.
Real people aren't like that.
Yeah. No. And who are you hanging out with? Change who you're hanging out with.
You just hear it, like, when you're walking around.
Not me.
He says quickly. So what is your male perspective on this, about women aging?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think in the media, when the conversation is about sex, you kind of it's a conversation had on sexist terms. And you asked earlier, you know, why do you think that is, that compared to indigenous societies, as women age, they become less revered in these sexual terms? And I do wonder if there's a biological explanation for that, you know, with something, you know, because a woman's sexual prime is at a certain age. And like it or not, we've reduced the conversation to being about sex and not being about these other...
When you say sexual prime, you mean in terms of being able to have children?
Maybe fertility. Yeah, fertility. Maybe fertility.
Because, I mean, it doesn't come into the conversation, but men's fertility declines as they get older too. You know, so obviously women get to a point where they actually can't have a baby at all, but men's level of fertility declines and also their performance declines too. And I'm obviously now with Viagra, but, you know, there's an aging process for men sexually as well, but that gets a bit hidden, you know, not talked about as much.
Sure, you know, I think so. I wish that we could elevate the conversation to not reduce everyone to their sexual appeal at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a nice way to, for men and women alike.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, thank you so much for all your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks to Julia, Keith and Sarah there. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Every day, horses are rounded up, captured, sold, and sent off to be cruelly slaughtered for food overseas. The horses you see out your window today could end up on someone's dinner plate tomorrow. We simply must do something to save them. This great country was built on the backs of the horses. They helped us plow our fields, pull our wagons, and they deserve all the dignity and respect afforded other American icons. The horse helped us craft this nation we know and revere today. This is country music star Lacey J. Dalton. I have dedicated my life to save Nevada's wild horses, but I cannot save them without your help. Your generous donations are the only chance some of these horses have. Visit letemrun.com for more information. Join me. Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Visit letemrun.com.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations for Out and About on our topic, Does Your Age Define You? So I'm wondering what you're thinking about this. And as I said earlier, the Out and About feature is designed to get us thinking. So if I was to stop you on the street and ask you these questions, what do you think you would have said? Do you think your age defines you? Well, the last people that I spoke to this week were Mark, Gavin, and Griffin. So let's hear their thoughts. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Mark.
Gavin.
Griffin.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're doing Does Your Age Define You? I'm wondering, when you meet someone, whether you want to know what their age is, and when you know their age, whether it makes you feel differently about them, whether you're kind of assessing certain things about them, or whether that's not something you think about.
I tend not to judge people based on their age. I feel like in any conversation that I'm having with anyone at any time, their opinion is just as valid, no matter how long they've been on this earth.
Right, okay. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. I tend not to judge, really, about the age. I mean, I live with a lot of people a little older than I am, like 10 years older than I am, so I tend to, you know, like having conversations with them and stuff.
Right. I mean, there's kind of a thing in a society that we do, you know, you sort of think, oh, I wonder how old they are. And then if you know, you kind of think, oh, he's done a lot for someone that age, or, oh, he hasn't done very much for someone that age. I mean, do you ever find yourself weighing that up?
People that tend to be, like, a little older, but just not have a lot of experience in, like, certain other aspects. So it's kind of like you can connect on that with them on other points of view, but you, like, look, step back and, like, look at them and, like, kind of inspect them and how they're, like, living their lives, and they're kind of, like, immature in some ways. And they're, like, you know, 30 or 28 or something.
So you feel like you are judging people more on their own merits than the number that they are and what they're doing at that age. You feel,
I guess so, now you think about it. It's kind of like,
it's not the time people now. It's not the time logged, really. It's the what you can bring to a conversation, or what you can bring to, like, a partnership, any kind of interaction with someone else, is the experience. The experience weighs a lot more than the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you think we discriminate against people based on age, though, in our society. Do you have a thought on that?
Oh, we definitely do. I've actually seen it recently. You know, I've been off and on in San Francisco since 92. I moved away for roughly 10 years. But coming back, I was part of the whole dot-com world prior to 2001, and I left shortly thereafter. And then coming back, there's a whole new fleet of 25-year-olds now in the app-based world that are in the city. And I still have friends that in the city that work with this age bracket and also complain about this age bracket because they're actually being discriminated against.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the 25-year-olds are sticking together, let's put it that way.
I mean, do you feel in business in particular there's more discrimination? I mean, in both directions?
In the young tech world, there can be, yeah.
In terms of you need to be young?
In the young startups, in the young sort of app-centric startups today, there definitely is. I noticed that it was a lot younger than our group that we had back in the dot-com days, which was more of a 25 to 35. Mm. It's a lot younger today.
Right.
And so people, friends of mine, like I'm saying, that have come in and had to deal with some of these companies.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 40, you're looked at pretty much, you're kind of over the hill sort of thing.
Right.
It's amazing. It sounds stupid, but it really can be true.
So they're really judging those people on, oh, they can't be hip, they can't know what's happening, they're too old, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, not all old people are wise and not all young people are full of vitality. And, you know, all the real power and success in the world rests with people who are older. So I'm wondering why there is
such a kind of emphasis on youth, you know, and we revere that. I mean, it's not so much seen in indigenous cultures. There's more respect for, you know, and obviously not all old people are wise, but I'm just wondering why you think our society is like it is.
I feel that as far as the United States of America, or quote-unquote the West,
yes,
older people sort of are ageist towards young folks, and in the East, they respect their elder relatives, and they revere them for the time they spent on this earth. Usually they're wise, sometimes they're not, sometimes they provide bad advice, but here, we sort of like to stow our elderly away in homes and whatnot. Yeah. We feel like there's nothing they can provide. And
you're doing that with me.
I have noticed that as time goes on, I have friends and sort of differing social levels and areas and communities that are approaching that family construct, the sort of the elderly live with you and they provide all this wisdom,
yeah,
and experience to your daily lives, yeah, and help around the house, or you help them,
yeah,
into their old age. And I feel like that's the better construct,
yeah,
for communal, like a community, and as a,
yeah,
as a society.
Finally, I just wanted to ask you how much influence you think the media has on our attitude towards age, because, I mean,
huge amount,
because, you know, it's sort of, it's very stereotypical, like you have an old person in a film, they're always like white hair and bent over, and not, you know, lots of old people are very vibrant, and, mm-hmm, and then the way women are portrayed, I think, especially, you know, there's a lot of discrepancy.
My personal opinion on media in this country is, it steers this country. I mean, I want to clue you into something. I'm originally from Ireland. I was born in England, by the way.
Oh, right, okay.
And these guys have traveled over there, and it's so much different outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
It really truly is. You come back and you see how the media here just guides people sort of almost like sheep into...
Yeah, there's a deification of the young look. Not so much like the what it can bring intellectually, but all famous people have to maintain this sort of youth about them, about their appearance. And
yes,
if they don't, they sort of get pushed to the side.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer, because I feel like there's, just because of their outward appearance, there's no valid reason to, like, just ignore their opinion about things.
It just occurred to me, do you think there's any link between this and materialism?
As I understand it, media and corporate America brackets all of us according to age. So, like, we're the 18 to 25 group.
Oh,
these,
yeah,
we're the 25 to 40 group.
And all of that.
Exact. So, like, yeah, I feel like
we're all
sort of monitored so much with the modern technology, like Facebook and stuff. Like, all the time I'm getting ads about anything that I search on Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I'm on Facebook, there's a sidebar with ads almost tailored specifically to everything I've searched. I have a couple friends who work in tech, and they've explained, like,
yeah,
the software that does that, and I feel like that is used to market to us in our brackets,
right.
So, and I feel with so many people on Facebook or on other social media, like Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
So that's another way of stereotyping.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
there's a huge amount of, not really pressure, I wouldn't call it, more like just exposure to advertisements and,
yeah,
everything. Like, I read an article recently that was like, Americans get exposed to like 50 times the amount of advertisements that they did now in the digital age,
wow,
than before computers in the 80s. And it definitely affects how we
target.
Vote, how we spend our money, how we don't spend our money. And yeah, that's huge.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So we were watching, I think we were talking about this a long time ago with Gavin and I. We were talking about the show The Voice.
Oh, yeah.
And how there was an episode where there was an older guy who was singing country, and there was a younger guy who was singing country. And they were both competing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how the older guys sounded a lot better, I guess, yeah. to our, you know, unexperienced knowledge.
Yes,
but
yeah.
still, like,
we have experience.
We have experience.
I mean, we have experience singing choirs and stuff, yeah. and we understand what, like, the whole spectrum of singing. And this guy was definitely miles better.
Yeah,
he just didn't quite look the part. And I feel like that's super prevalent in, all sort of realms of entertainment is this, like, we want you to be marketable. So, and we market to, no matter if it's young or old, the media has created this mindset that you need to have that look to be successful. And you need, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see any pushback?
I'll flat out put it, this country's corporate and media driven.
Right.
And you so notice it. I was out of the country for the guts of 6 months last year. And coming, I was gone for an extended period. Was it 5 months?
First, you were gone for...
I was gone for a while anyway. And I was in Europe, Gibraltar, Spain, Portugal, Ireland. And it was a shocker coming back.
Yeah.
You immediately, the second you land at the airport, you immediately see... everybody sort of pigeonholed, you know, into you're this one particular type or that particular type. It's just the strangest thing, you know. Everybody's got their head stuck in the phone. Well, a lot of the world's that way now anyway, but it's very prevalent here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think I do experience that there's a drive, this very small percentage of people, which is tiny, I mean, who are represented in the entertainment industry or in the media, are kind of making everybody else, like 99% of everyone else who's nothing like that, feel that that's what they have to aspire to. Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And that was the last of my on the street conversations this week for our out and about feature on the topic, Does Your Age Define You? And thanks to all the people who took part. You know, it's relatively daunting to be stopped by someone on the street and asked somewhat deep questions and come out with your thoughts about the topic. So I really appreciate the people who contributed this week and their thoughtful comments on this. And if you listening have any comments that you would like to share, you can email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. That's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. And also, if you go to the website, you can hear podcasts of all my past shows there. We've had a lot of very interesting topics and some great guests, so you can listen to those shows in your own time when you're driving or traveling or whenever you want to. So I do encourage you to visit the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. And I wanted to let you know that coming up in the second hour, I'm interviewing Trash McSweeney, who's a singer, songwriter, and creator of the five-piece orchestral art band, The Red Paintings. And currently Trash is in the middle of a world tour, so we're grateful to him for taking the time out to talk to us. Really looking forward to it, and also playing some tracks from the album. So that's coming up in the second hour. I'll see you then.